Time is short. We're learning Parashat Be'alotecha. Of course, the beginning of our Parashat talks about the menorah, which actually was a compensation for Moshe Rabbein, for Aharon HaKohen. Aharon felt left out when God did not include Shevet Levi in the Hanukkah Mizbeach. They did not bring the inaugural sacrifices of the Nisi'im. So God said, don't worry, I'll compensate you and you're going to light the menorah. That's why the Pasuk begins telling us how Aharon was involved in the Hadlakat HaMenorah, Ba'alotechat HaNerot. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Aharon exactly how it's supposed to be done. There's a certain way the Nerot have to be configured. You know, there's three on the right, there's three on the left, there's one in the middle. They have to be tilting towards the middle, so there's rules. Like it says, Ilmul Pene HaMenorah. Ilmul Pene HaMenorah, she says, Nera Imsa'i, which is the middle Ner. And then, of course, the Pasuk says, Vaya'as ken Aharon. Aharon acquiesced, Aharon listened. Ka'asher siva Hashem et Moshe. Exactly, Hashem commanded Moshe. So Rashi comes along and says, Lahagid shevachot shel Aharon shelo shina. Rashi comes and says, to the praise of Aharon HaKohen, shelo shina, he did not deviate. Of course, none of us would have thought that Aharon would deviate. And we don't know why that's a sheva, bichlal. I mean, if somebody walks by a bank and he doesn't rob the bank, do we say, Lahagid shevachot, wow, what a praiseworthy guy, he didn't rob the bank. No, you did something that's right, so you don't get praised for that. So the fact that Aharon lit the menorah, and Vayas Ken, what is the Shevach Shelo Shina? Which is really the theme of today's talk. The Inyan of not deviating. The Inyan of sticking to the law as was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai. The Mishnah over here says in Pirkei Avot, the first Mishnah, Moshe kibel Torah Mesinai, umesara li Yoshua. There the Torah is telling us that Moshe received the Torah at Sinai. He was a Mekabel. Umesara li Yoshua. And that Torah that he was Mekabel, the Mishnah uses the word Mesara. That word Mesara, we always understand it to mean that he gave it over, Limsor. But if you look in different gemariot, different texts, you'll see that when they use the word limsor, it's usually said in a very strong way, in a way of like mesirut nefesh, when a person is giving up his soul, which is at great sacrifice, at great length, at great pain, in order to do it. Does not say Moshe kibel Torah misay v'natan liYoshua. Natan is, you give it over. But limsor has a deeper connotation. And we see that what? That Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave the Torah over to Yoshua, he gave it over in the way of a mesira, which was complete without any reservation, not holding back anything. In our parasha, the Torah refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look at the Pesukim in Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Zayin, Lo chen avdim Moshe. Lo chen avdim Moshe. Bechol beti ne'eman hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is called a ne'eman. What is ne'eman? Ne'eman means he's loyal. He has a ne'emanut. He's trustworthy. What does it mean he's trustworthy? Somebody that's trustworthy, you can give him something and he guards it. He's ne'eman, you could trust him. You could give him something very, very expensive and you don't have to make a contract, you don't have to have a handshake, you don't have to have witnesses. He's ne'eman, you know, whatever you're going to give him, he's going to give it to you back the same way. Which is the biggest compliment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying, whatever he's telling you, he's ne'eman, finished. You could trust his words that whatever he's telling you is Torah Mesinai itself. No additives and no subtractions. The Shomer does not have a right to spice up the law or change the law. Even though he might see it differently, even though he has a good idea, even though he has a chidush, even though he wants to enhance, it's not for you to enhance either. Ne'eman means as is. Furthermore, I'll even tell you more. The pasuk says, "Lo ta'asun iti elohe chesef velohe zahav." What does it mean? Don't make for me gold and silver images for Avodah Zarah. That's a simple explanation. The question on that pasuk is, what is it iti? It should say, "Lo ta'asun elohe chesef velohe zahav." Don't make gods of silver and gods of gold. Lo ta'asun iti? What is iti? God, don't make with me? How can you make an Avodah Zarah with God? So the explanation I saw in the Tzaddikim is that we had gold figurines in our religion that were legal. It's called the cherubs, the kirubim. The Goyim couldn't believe it. When they went into the Hechal, they saw kirubim, they said, they're just like us, these guys. We didn't know. We thought these guys were doing something different. They also have figurines. But of course, it is different. These inyan of the kirubim are very, very deep, what they represent. Now imagine somebody comes along and he knows all the kavanot of the kirubim and he says, you know what? Instead of having two kirubim, if we put a third kiruv for God, Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov, make a third kiruv, not for Avodah Zarah, for God. So the pasuk comes along and says, Lo ta'asun iti. Even if you're doing it for iti, even if you're doing it for me, even if your intention is to enhance the glory of God, you're making Elohe Zahab iti, for me. Don't do it. You can't do it. Or the opposite. Let's say there was a congregation that could not afford gold. The gold prices were very high. They couldn't afford the gold, the Beit HaMikdash. So they had an idea. They said, you know what? Instead of making the kirubim out of gold, we'll use silver. But the halakha says that while all the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash you're allowed to substitute for silver, the kiruvim can only be gold. That's the rule. There's a musar, Rabbi Meir Shapiro, Alav HaShalom, said on that. He said because the kiruvim represent the children. When it comes to your children, there's no cutting corners. When it comes to the education of your children, you can't say, well, you know, that school, the tuition's half price, and the education is half price also. Which means, when it comes to the children, it's either gold, don't do it. Don't do it half baked. So therefore, you say, listen, we don't have gold. What? So instead of doing nothing, so we'll make them silver. And then, b'zat Hashem, when we make some money, we'll upgrade it. But you're going against the halakha. But you have a good logic. What? Nothing's better than silver? But if the halakha says nothing is better, nothing is better. What do you mean? We're not going to have cherubs on the Aron? You're not going to have. So the pasuk says, Lo ta'asun iti elohe chesef. Even if your intention is iti, for me, don't do it. That means, even the people that want to add to the Torah, subtract, sometimes they're religiously motivated. Sometimes they have good ideas. You know, it'll add to the glory of God. That's why remaining loyal to the tradition and to the law is sometimes a challenge, because sometimes the people that are doing it are not doing it sinisterly, meaning to try to ruin the law. They're trying to enhance the law. They're doing it iti. But you have to be careful, because once you change the law, it's not the law anymore. It's a different animal. It's a different creature. So therefore, God, when he refers to Moshe, he says, Moshe is ne'eman. Ne'eman means he's a shomer ne'eman. A shomer is a guardian. If you trust the shomer, finished. You don't have to give him any money. He'll go out of his way to make sure that when you come to pick up your item, it's exactly intact as it is. There won't be a scratch on the item. There won't be a nick on the item. The person who's the iman is very, very careful.
B'chol beti
ne'eman hu. That's the praise of Moshe. And therefore, there's nobody more suitable to be the receiver of the Torah. Because we know that he's going to give it over perfectly as is. To the extent that I found an Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Orach Chaim HaKadosh says a beautiful chidush. It's in Vayikra. Where is it? Vayikra Aleph. Right in the beginning. Vayikra Aleph Aleph. Right in the first pasuk. So the pasuk says, anybody remember how Vayikra starts? Vayikra el Moshe. So God calls to Moshe. So says the Rav. It's a big piece over here. It says like this. Three pages. He's bringing all different opinions how to learn the pasuk, and everyone that he brings, he rejects. It doesn't end as Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So let's see over here. His lashon is עוד אמרו רבותינו, יכול היה מדבר עמו לצורך עצמו? Whenever God talked to Moshe, do you think he ever talked to him private stuff? Which means, Moshe Rabbeinu had a great relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu talked to him. So the Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, was there ever stuff that was we would call private. Tamud lomar lemor. The pasuk always says, "Vayikra el Moshe, vaydaber Hashem elav moed moed lemor." That everything that God told Moshe was to be said over. There were no secrets. There was no private conversations. Kavanat devrehem, kitevat lemor mi'utu. it's coming to minimize. Minimize what? Lema'et shelo haya diburo le-Moshe. It wasn't something that was for Moshe. Zulat b'shvil Yisrael. Perush ledaber lahem. Which is an amazing thing. Everybody has secrets. You're married, so certain things between you and your wife. Not everybody knows those things. Not for a republic. You have a good friend. You confide in your friend. He has certain things only he knows. And he doesn't tell anybody. He's loyal.
The rabbi.
The rabbi. You confide in the rabbi. You tell him certain things. Okay, that's private. What do you call it? Confidential.
A therapist.
Hazak Baruch. There's certain relationships that there's information that's not shared, that is private. Which I would have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu, who spent so much time with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he has some stuff in his brain that only Moshe knows, and it's private. Says the Olam HaKadosh, that's not the case. Mikan ata lamed shelo diber Hashem im Moshe ela devre Torah shemasar li Yisrael. It's unbelievable that God only talks to Moshe as the sinor, as the pipe, that it goes from Moshe to Klal Yisrael. V'hu ma'amar atana. Moshe kibel Torah mesinai u'mesara li Yoshua. That means everything that he ever heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it came out. Don't take that as a light thing, Rabotai. In life, there's always things that you want to hold on for yourself. You know, you got to have something for yourself. One time I was with the chief rabbi, may live and be well. We were at Moisés Saba, Alav HaShalom's, one of his weddings for his boy, Alav HaShalom also.
Mexico.
And I was there for 3 days with the chief rabbi, Rabbi Ahmad. And I was watching exactly what he's doing, learning from the tzaddikim exactly what their behaviors are. And right before the wedding, Rabbi Ahmad, Ibadel HaHayim, so he called Moisés into the private office, like this is an hour before the wedding, to do a certain tikkun. So I walked in.
Went under the bed.
I want to see what he's doing.
Bidiyuga.
Wasn't the bathroom, but it was the office. So Rabbi Ahmad told me, listen, leave me one item. Leave me one item that I, you know all my tricks already. Which means, everybody wants that one. That's my item. I can't tell you all my, every lady has their recipe. I'll give you any recipe. I can't give you all my recipes. You got to give me, what is my recipe? A lady wants to have her item. Otherwise, everybody knows the recipe. It's not special anymore. They got to go there. She's the only one that knows it. Secret recipe. Coca-Cola doesn't want to share their recipe. Why? It's the nature of a person. You want to have an item. Or even a darshan. I admit to myself. If I have, let's say, on Thursday night, I want to give a dirash. So I say to myself, even though the students are all there, hold it. Don't give it over yet. Hold it for a better time, for a better moment. So the student is not getting everything that I have. The darshan holds something back. For a later time. For Shabbat or for, another time where you can boom it out. That's
the opposite.
That's mitzad the mekabeh, but we're talking about mitzad the moser. The mitzad the moser, he gave up everything. Mitzad the mekabeh, that's another inyan, but Moshe Rabbeinu not hold anything back. Which means, also, if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to have an item, okay, this is my item. I'm the chief rabbi, this is my chedush over here. Well, Moshe never told you. I was waiting for the siyum, waiting for the day I died to give you the... Nothing. Don't take it lightly when we say he gave over everything to Klal Yisrael. Everybody always keeps something for themselves. The collector comes along. He collected for the yeshiva. What does he give the yeshiva? 51% he gives to the yeshiva. What does he keep for himself? 49%. He's allowed to. He wants something for himself. Very rarely you see somebody collect and give all of it to the yeshiva. And he has a right, maybe. I'm a collecting, I have to pay my bill, whatever it is. It's time. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rebbe Kadosh, is there was no, it was in and out. There's no, nothing remained. We don't appreciate that often, but in life it's always like that. If you have a certain business, you have your certain tricks. I come to you for advice. You're going to help me, but you're not going to tell me every secret that you know. You're running a business. You're going to give me every secret that you know. I'll ask you advice. You'll give me, help me. But you're going to also have some tricks of the trade that it's for me to know and you to find out, and I'm not going to reveal. So Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom, is so ne'eman, he doesn't even leave one item for himself. By the way, what comes out, and this is what I'm going to say, big hadush over here, but the Orach HaMekadosh is going to say it better than me, obviously. After Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the whole Torah, there's no difference between the knowledge of Moshe and the knowledge of everybody else. Listen, if I have a computer and I download it to your computer 100%, the computer's in the same now. What's the difference?
Again, there's no difference between...
The knowledge of Bnei Yisrael and Moshe, which is an amazing thing. Normally, the rabbi, I got to be better than you, so I can't tell you everything because I got to keep status. So when you guys come around, oh, we heard it already. I go, you didn't hear nothing. I didn't tell you. So that's why I got to keep something in my pocket for the guys over here that come around and say, we heard everything already. So I got to hold something back. So therefore, otherwise you won't call me rabbi. You'll say, I'm equal to you. We should have been the kid about that. Should have been the most humble man, like I said this week's parasha. He's not interested in having... If you know everything I know, Baruch Abba, I'm happy you know everything I know. And Orech Abba says, Halamadta, listen to the language, Shekol ma shekibel, Masav, Umikan atalamed, Shelo... Hodi'o Hashem sod shelo lamdot Yisrael. Which means, you would have thought that maybe God told Moshe, and this is for you, by the way, this is for you. Don't repeat this. This is between us. Hadush. Sod Hashem nire'ab is your item, not for repeating. No. If God speaks to Moshe, it's coming to us. Now here's the line. V'hushvu Yisrael l'Moshe b'yidi'ah. Hushvu Yisrael le Moshe b'yidi'ah. Amazing. They were equal. When it came to knowledge, they were the same at the end of the day. So therefore, there's no such thing that you could say that Moshe knows more than me now. After he gave it over, in knowledge, it's the same 100% download. The only difference is, Ela shehud lamad b'pi ha-giburah, v'Yisrael b'pi ish, which is a qualitative difference, but not a quantitative difference. Understand? Quantitatively, it's the same download. Qualitatively, of course, he learned it from Hashem. He learned it from Ish. Fine. In that sense, it might be different. Which means the way the download took place, it shows you the Mesirut Nefesh. That's why it says, Moshe kibel Torah misara. It's a Mesirut Nefesh to do what Moshe Rabbeinu did. It's not Stam. You're basically allowing the student to be on par with you. Nobody does that. You always have to have the advantage in life. You always have to keep yourself above. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not interested in that. So now a student can go along and say, I know just as much as Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu would say, it's correct. And guess what? If God tells me a new hadush tonight, you're going to be the first one to know about it. I'm not going to hold it back. Nemor, I'm going to tell you. You understand? That's why you need a ne'eman to do this. Because even if he holds back one letter, he's not ne'eman anymore. You're not ne'eman. Now already it's personal. You have an interest just to keep yourself ahead of everybody. Bechol beti ne'eman hu. That's the amazingness of it. Now what does it say? U'misara li Yoshua. They gave it over to Yoshua. Now, what does it say now, Parashah, regarding Yoshua? So Yoshua, Alav Shalom. No, because that was his main student. He gave it to everybody. But Yoshua is the main student of Moshe. You want to say first? I'm saying main student. So you have your own answer. I don't have a problem. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. You're not happy with my answer. So you say your own answer. I don't have a problem, honey. I don't have a problem. I'm saying because he was a main student. You'll say you gave it to him first. You like your answer better? I don't have a problem, honey. Whatever satisfies you. Whatever will keep you quiet, not to interrupt the shi'ud anymore, I'll be happy. So it says, I mean, look at Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction. Anyway, I got caught out there. Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction when he finds out that other people are saying Nivu'ah. Yoshua comes, hey, other guys that are giving prophecy. Now, if you're a prophet and you have the copyright on prophecy, and then somebody tells you, hey, there's some competition out there, you come along and you file a lawsuit. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? ויאמר לו משה המקנה אתה לאומי ייתן כל העם אשר נביאים. ברוך הבא, I'm nothing for me. מי ייתן כל העם אשר נביאים? I have a monopoly on נבואה. Let everybody have prophecy. Let Hashem come down to everybody. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't find leaders like this. Competition? What's competition? He said, yeah, let everybody be my competition, he's saying. Now Yoshua, Alav Shalom, also had the same midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu trusts Yehoshua in order to give over the Mesorah. Mesorah li Yehoshua specifically because Yehoshua has the same midah. Where do we see this, Rabotai? In a few Gemariot. Let's learn a few Gemariot together, Rabotai. Let's start with Yibamot Daf Tzadivav Amud Bet. Let's see if we remember this Gemara. We learned it a long time ago. Actually, we learned it in Shekalim, I think, also. In the Yerushalmi. Yibamot Tzadivav Amud Bet. Let's see what happened over here. Huh? Azal Rabbi El Azal Amar Lishma'ata B'Midrasha. Rabbi Elazar went to the yeshiva one day, and he said, "Over halacha." Velo amara meshemed Rabbi Yohanan. He didn't say it over in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. He said, "Over halacha." He didn't quote Rabbi Yohanan. Shama Rabbi Yohanan ikpad. Rabbi Yohanan heard that, and he was makpid. He's saying over hadushim. You have to quote it where you heard it from. Only Gaber Rabbi Amir and Rabbi Aseh. So Rabbi Amir and Rabbi Aseh went to Rabbi Yohanan to try to appease Rabbi Yohanan. Amru le, lo kach haya ma'aseh bebet ha-kadisha shetabariya. Don't you remember the story that happened in Tiberias? Benagar, sheyesh berosho, glustera, shenechleku bo Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef. There was a big machlok in the Mimba, that's regarding that case. Ad shekar'u sefer Torah b'hamatan. They were fighting so much that they almost came to Gemara to ripping a Sefer Torah. V'haya shem Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, amar tamei ani im lo yeh Bet Knesset zu avodat kochavim. He said, the fight that broke out here today in the Bet Knesset, I wouldn't be shocked if one day this is going to turn to a church, this place. V'chen ava. Which basically, Rabbi Amir and Rabbi says, tell Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi, it's not worthy to make a fight in the Beit Midrash. Look what happened in Tiberia when they made a fight. And no Alenu. Therefore, let him go. Don't be makpid. Adat ikpid tefeh. It only made him more angry. Amar, havrutan ameh. Which means, you're comparing me to that story over there? Those were equals that were fighting. This is my student. Over there, they were equals. Okay, fine. But here, my student says halakha, he doesn't quote me. You want to tell me over there they had a fight? Okay, it was apples and apples. Here, my talmid. So who came to appease Rabbi Yohanan now? Rabbi Yaakov bar Ideh. It's to the story. Amaleh, so he tells Rabbi Yohanan, Ka'asher siva Adonai et Moshe Avdo, Ken siva Moshe et Yehoshua, Vechen asa Yehoshua lo hesir davar mikol asher siva Adonai et Moshe. It's a pasuk in the book of Yehoshua, the book of Joshua. Joshua 11. Read the pasuk again. Ka'asher siva Hashem et Moshe Avdo, just like God commanded Moshe, Ken siva Moshe et Yehoshua. So Moshe commanded Yehoshua. Vechen asa Yehoshua, that what? Lo hisir davar. Mikol asher siva Hashem et Moshe. Nothing. So now, the Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, tells Rabbi Yohanan, V'chi al kol davar she'amar Yehoshua haya omed lahem, kach amar li Moshe? When Yehoshua was teaching, did he have to say every time he said something, that's what I learned from Moshe? Ela Yehoshua yoshev v'doresh, stam. Yehoshua was doresh, stam, without having to give a name. V'akol yod'im she'torato shel Moshe hi. And everybody knows where it's coming from. Af Rabbi Elazar tamidecha, so to your student Rabbi Elazar, yoshev v'doresh stam, v'akol yod'im ki shelcha hi. Oh, that's what he told Rabbi Yohanan. He doesn't have to say where he heard it from. Everybody knows if Rabbi Elazar saying it, he got it from his Rebbe. Who's his Rebbe? Rabbi Yohanan. Amar lahem, so he turns to the Amir and Rabbi Aseh, Mipenema I atem yod'im nefayes ke ben ide haverenu. How come you don't know how to appease me like Ben Idi knows how to appease? He accepted the appeasement. Huh?
Nice
Gemara. I saw in this Gemara an interesting note from the Abetz. Why does he refer to him as Ben Ide? He did him a beautiful appeasement. His name is Rabbi Yaakov bar Ideh. He says, how come you don't have a peace like Ben Idi? Call him by his name. How come you don't have a peace like Rabbi Yaakov? Instead he says, how come you don't have a peace like Ben Idi? So I saw, it's based on a Gemara in Bechorot. We'll get to it. On Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Gemara over here, says like this. Rabbi Idi, that is the story about Rabbi Idi. That's Rabbi Yaakov's father. Yeah, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi. So Rabbi Idi, today you have Eddie. Idi Gomei. Chazak Baruch. Rabbi Idi Sarsed de Rav Sheshat Haba. He was the Shamosh of Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat was blind. So he needed like a Gabbai. So Rabbi Idi was the Gabbai of Rav Sheshat. Shema Mine Azil Amra B'Midresha Velo Amra M'Shemeh. So he would learn from Rav Sheshat. Then he went to the Bet Midrash and he quotes Talachem, but he doesn't quote Rav Sheshat. Shema Rav Sheshat Ikpad. So Rav Sheshat was Makpid. Amar, he said, Man da'akitz le'kese akreba. The one that got, that bit me, should get bit. Which means, he put him in Hayrim. That she says he put him in Hayrim. The question is, why doesn't Rav Idi quote Rav Sheshat? So if you look over here in the back of the book, Rabotai, the back of the book, you have Huh? In the back of the book, you have commentary. Here, all the commentaries are bunched up. We'll find it. Lamed Aleph Amud Bet. Oh, Ya'bet. Velo Amram Mesheme, Nirsham Betzido. Iu Sabar de Kula Alma Yadesh Toratosh Rabor of Sheshati. Rav Edi's logic was, I don't have to quote Rav Sheshat. Everybody knows that. I'm the Shamosh of Rav Sheshat. Where am I getting my stuff from? So that's the way we can explain
why
the Gemara in Yebamot. The Gemara in Yebamot, when Rabbi Yohanan said to Rabbi Yaakov, after he appeased him, and he told him, Rabbi, everybody knows, just like when Yeshua talked, he didn't have to say it's from Moshe, so too when Rabbi Elazar talks, everybody knows from Rabbi Yohanan. So when did he tell the other rabbis, how come you don't know how to appease like Ben Edi? Because he was saying, you must have learned it from your father. Your father, Edi, did the same thing with Rav Sheshat. And the reason why your father, Edi, didn't quote Rav Sheshat, because they said, it's understood. So the way you knew this concept from your father. That's why the Yohanan referred to the Yaakov as Ben Edi. Because Edi himself had the same episode with Rav Sheshat. So he says, you knew this principle that you don't have to quote the rabbi's name when it's assumed. But what do you see from these Gemariot? Why am I bringing these Gemariot? To show you the loyalty that Yehoshua ben Nun had also. That whatever he learned from Moshe, also he did not hold back anything. Which again is not to be taken lightly. It could bring us Sefer Yehezkel. On this word in the Mishnah says Pirkei Avot, Masoret Siyag LaTorah. The Masoret is a fence for Torah. The simple explanation is, if you want to protect the Torah, so you have to just keep the tradition intact. The tradition is like a fence. The Masoret is a Siyag LaTorah. Not to add to the Masoret, not to take away from the Masoret. But I saw brought down, I always thought the word masoret comes from something that is handed down, meaning limsor. It's given over. And the way we learn today, b'mesirut nefesh, is given over with great effort, great sacrifice. Exactly, Jacob. But I saw brought down in the Sefarim a pasuk in Yehezkel. Now, not a known pasuk, obviously. Unless you're experts in Yehezkel, Perechaf, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, which I don't think you are. The Pasuk here says, Va'abarti etchem ta'at tashavet. I'm going to bring you under the stick. Ve'veti etchem b'masoret habrit. I'm going to bring you under the masoret, whatever the word masoret means, habrit, the covenant. Simple explanation is the Torah. You're going to be under the masoret of the Torah. Comes the Radak over here. And he says a big chidush rabotai on the word masoret. You have either word mesorah, masoret. Haser aleph. Wow. He says really masoret is missing an aleph. Sometimes the Torah writes a word, but it's missing an aleph. Haser aleph. Umishpato b'ma'asoret. Ma'asoret means shackles. Ma'asar means somebody that's bound, somebody that's handcuffed. Rabbi Matlub Abadi alav shalom, Chaim Matlub, whenever somebody would come to him and ask him for a ruling, and he would give them the ruling, and sometimes it was a strict ruling, so they would press him to try to get a leniency. So he would put his hands together like this, and he would say, my hands are bound to Harambam. I can't move. I'm locked. Tachem Matlub, the Masoret was a Ma'asoret. It was a Ma'asar. That's the way you have to look at Masoret. You're stuck. You want to add to it. You want to make it easier. My hands are tied up. My hands are locked. I'm bound. I'm dutifully bound to the text. I'm dutifully bound to the rule. I'm dutifully bound to the halakha. As much as I want to be lenient, as much as I want to modernize it and make it, you know, more appetizing to the people, and maybe I want to get more friends and be more popular, which I do, then you're not an imam. If you're not willing to be shackled to the book, to the text, if you're not willing to have the attitude, I'll call it, of a being ma'asar, then you cannot be a Baal Mesorah. The Baal Mesorah has to be tied to the text, tied to the to tradition. If you don't have that loyalty to be a ma'asar, under all circumstances. Now that takes a Mesirut Nefesh as well, because you have the congregation, and they're looking for leads. What happened to the reformers? They wanted to acquiesce with the people. They were people pleasers, basically. The people wanted to do whatever they wanted. So these leaders came along and they said, guess what? We'll untie the text and we'll create a new tradition. And the people were very happy. Basically, they're cowards. Because if they really had guts, they stand up and say, the law's the law. It's not my law to change it. It's not my law to make it easier or make it more stringent, or make it more stringent for that matter. The law is the law. Ma'asar, my hands are tied to Harambam. That's a loyal... I once heard from Rabbi Mazuz. In the Amidah we say, Ki el rofe rahman v'ne'eman. Says a doctor, there's two compliments you can give a doctor. Rofe rahman v'ne'eman. Now some doctors are rahmanim. What's a rahman? He's merciful. But he's not ne'eman. Which means, really the person needs to go under the knife. But the doctor feels bad for the guy. So he gives him other sorts of remedies that are really not going to solve the problem. So he has rahmanut, but he's not ne'eman. Other doctors, they're ne'eman, but they don't have good bedside manner. They're not rahman. Hashem ki el rofe rahman v'ne'eman. God's bedside man is good, and he's the iman, meaning you can trust him. Which means these people that come to change the Torah, they're rahmanim, they feel bad for the people. So the lady calls up, do I have to fast today? Ah, poor lady, you don't have to fast. And then the guy calls up, Rabbi, do I have to go, can I open my store on Shabbat? I'm making so much parnasah, this is my best day of the week. And he's a Rahman. He feels bad for the guy. But you're not Ne'eman. You're not Ne'eman to the Shulchan Aruch. You're not Ne'eman to the law. So then Moshe Rabbeinu was Ne'eman. And Yoshua, as the Gemara just taught us from the Pasuk in Yoshua, that whatever he heard from Moshe, it said he's locked. He's dutifully bound, as we said, like a Ma'asoret. Oh, if that's the case, we go back to where we started from. The Malbim over here, God tells Aaron to light the menorah. It was the inaugural lighting, the first lighting that was done by Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. And the Pasuk, of course, says, Vaya'asken Aaron. Vayaskin Aharon, Mefaresh, Ilmul. What does it mean, Ilmul? He made sure to light it the way Moshe Rabbeinu told him, that all the lights will face the center. And it also says what? He'ila neroteha. What is it, he'ila? Al yedish asam ma'alot. Which means you have to put steps, a step stool, in front of the menorah. That was one of the rules, how the menorah has to be structured, the step stool. So he made the step stool. He went up. Kashir Siva Hashem. What does it mean kasher siva Hashem? Perush shiyeh hatsi log lechol ner. He makes sure to put the right amount of oil in each cup. The law is how much you have to put in each cup? Half a log. That's the amount. It's important that you know that amount. There's a famous... It's interesting. There's a famous question that all the Darshanim Adoresh on Hanukkah, which is the question of the Beit Yosef, and there's a famous Rashi over here on Hanukkah and the menorah of the menorah, the Adoresh on. For some reason, the lighting of the menorah has classic Darashot. So we'll connect them. The question that the Beit Yosef asked on Hanukkah was what? What's the lighting on the first night? The first night wasn't a miracle. So why is the holiday 8 days? The Chaurah, the holiday should only be, because it says they found enough oil for one night. Right, so one night they had. So the first night was not a miracle. So what was the... So the Shabbat Shalmi says a beautiful answer. Listen to the answer, Rabotai. It says, they went into the Beit HaMikdash that day, and they found a pak shemen, and it was sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And when we're young, we're under the impression that the Kohen Gadol was also the mashgiach of the Beit HaMikdash. That was like, Gary, the Kohen Gadol did not work for the Star K or the OU. The Kohen Gadol is busy enough, now he has the hashkahan the oil. Hashkahan the oil, get some hashkaha. You understand, Elliot? What does it mean that the seal of the Kohen Gadol? What do you need? Since when do you ever need a seal?
He approved it.
But what does it mean he approved it? It's not for him to approve it or not. What did he approve? The kashrut? What is he approving?
The amount.
Is approving the amount? So you're making the Kohen Gadol even worse than a mashgiach. He was the measurer. He was the surveyor. I don't know what you're doing over here. So what's it mean that it was there with Chotamo Kohen Gadol? So he says, the Kohen Gadol every day had to bring a personal mincha, which is called Minhat Habitin. You following? We learned it now in Yoma. Every day, the Kohen Gadol had to bring his own mincha. Half in the morning and half in the afternoon. That's Minhat Habitin Shel Kohen Gadol. And it was made out of flour that he had to pay for himself and oil that he had to pay for himself. You cannot... This does not come from the taxpayers. This comes from the Kohen Gadol's private monies. So therefore he says that jug of oil was not oil really for the menorah. That oil had the chotam of the Kohen Gadol because it was private oil. That says the chotam is basically saying private property. Don't touch. It's for the menhat habitin. How much oil is in the menhat habitin? The Torah says... 3 log. Now we just read the Malbim. How much is in each jug of the menorah, in each ner? A half a log. So if there's 7 nerot, it's 3.5 log you need. So there wasn't enough even for the first night, says the Shabbat Shalmi. That was the miracle. Shabbat Shalmi. Now what? They found it, but it was a minhat. There was enough for the minhah. But this was not for minhah, this was for the menorah. So therefore they didn't have enough. The point is, when Aaron came to light the menorah, he followed all the rules. Oh. V'zeh pinish rashi. V'yas ken Aaron. Even the Mabim's weighing in on this. Everybody's weighing in on this Nashi over here. Even the Mabim has to say something on this Nashi. What does it mean, Shloshina? She'aron asakin hatsi log lechol ner. Vayash shebachosh laron Shloshina. Zot omer, shlohu tzrak leshanot latet bener ha-ma'arabi yoter ma'atsi log Kedesh yadik ad alayla, ki dalag benes b'schuto. Which means, as long as Aaron was lighting, you had an amazing miracle. You put the same amount of oil in the middle ner, and what happened? It lasted to the morning, to the afternoon, till they had the light again. It never went out. You understand? The middle one, the name Ma'aravi, it's called, the middle one, according to one opinion. It's Mahlok in the Gemara, you remember. But we're going with the middle one today. It never went out. Now the Chaura, you're putting the same amount of oil. The greatness was, the Malbim says, Lagit Shebaho Shel Aaron, Shelo Shina, he never had to deviate by putting more oil. Because in his Zechut, the miracle happened all the time. Understand how he's learning Lo Shina? A less Kohen would have to help that miracle along. To add some extra oil just to make sure that the miracle happens. Then it's not a miracle anymore. Aaron didn't need to do it. Why? Ki dalak benes b'zchuto. Lo Shina. He had the kabanot. It worked without having to add any physical, no help. Based on what we're saying today, Shelo Shina means Aaron did not deviate. You think Aaron needed a ladder to get up to the menorah? He was tall, Aaron. He was like Moshe. So you might argue and say, maybe in the future there's going to be midget Kohanim that are going to need a step stool to change the light. I don't need a step stool. Shelo Shina. It's not for me to come along. If the law is given as such, that's the law. Lo ta'asun iti. Don't start trying to serve me with your own additives and your own 2 cents, own 1 cent. And that's really the lesson about Parasha. The ne'emanut of the Ba'alei HaMesorah. That ne'emanut. Aaron is one of the Ba'alei HaMesorah. Moshe is Ba'al HaMesorah, obviously, the top one. Yoshua ben Nun. The greatness of these people was they had such a loyalty and a responsibility to the tradition that they felt tied to it, which means if they wanted to, they can't escape, can't get out, they can't go right, can't go left, I'm tied, so where am I going to go? They have no choice. They felt there was a ma'asar, the mesorah, like the Radak says, is hasir aleph, melashon ma'asar, where you're locked in. So how fortunate are we? Who chooses obviously the right men, but today I think we have a greater appreciation for the Ba'alei HaMesorah because it's not so easy to be ne'eman when it comes to these things. Like I proved to you in other things in life, as ne'eman as you are, it's to a degree, and then you have your own stuff, which means everyone wants to have their own kinyan. You want to make a kinyan on something. I have to have something that belongs to me. The fa'od. Moshe has no kinyan more than anybody else. After he gives it over, I mean, if the student has a good memory, he could say, oh, everything, Moshe, he said it perfect. There's nothing I could add. There's nothing I could add. I heard it from Hashem. Okay, that's a different qualitative level. But quantity level, it's the same Divrei Torah. Like Torah Haim HaKadosh said. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. That's the only difference. That he was mekabel from Sinai. But after that, the Mesorah, the Ba'alei Mesorah are so loyal, and that's the greatness of Yehoshua ben Nun, as it says. Yehoshua did not have to say, I heard this from Moshe. Anytime Moshe opened, Yehoshua opened his mouth, and the Pasuk says, they knew right away. This is from Stam Yehoshua is Moshe. Stam Divrei Torah from Yehoshua. Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Stam Dibur Shel Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. That's a great lesson to us. It's not for us to tinker with the book. We're now the Ba'alei Mesorah of our generation. So it's upon us, the way we received it from our fathers and grandfathers, finished. Whether you like it, you don't like it, you think that the world became more sophisticated, if we have to, you know, put an upgrade to 2.0 on the Torah, we have to add some rem to the Torah's memory to make it more relevant. Not for us to do. If Moshe Rabbeinu did not do it, so who are we to come along and start making adjustments? Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Omed Al HaTorah. Omed means it stays in place. It's Omed. Everything else in this world is Holech. Science, holech, it's getting advanced. It changes from time to time. Technology, it's holech. But the Torah is saying in that Mishnah, Ashlosha devarim ha'olam omed, there's certain things that don't move. There's certain things that don't modernize. There's certain things that don't get an adjustment, that don't need automatic upgrades. Torah has to be an omed. It has to stand in its place. It's stationary. It's stagnant. Now, don't get me wrong, Rabotai. Don't think for a second, because I know you have some skeptics that are listening to this and saying, look at this here. The whole world is advancing, and the rabbi wants to keep us in the Stone Ages with a Torah that was given 3,000 years ago. This is these religious people. They don't want to go with the times. Their mistake is that they don't understand that the Torah was written with such elasticity that it's for all times. It is for all times. When the book was written, it was written to be lasting to the end of time. So if it's all in there. So you shouldn't think it's not relevant. The book is relevant. Now, you tell me, yeah, but today we have microwaves. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says microwaves. You're right. There's no pasuk that says, lo ta'aseh microwave b'Shabbat. I promise you there's no pasuk like that. However, you'll never find a gadol that's asked the question of a phenomenon that's in this world. Let's say there's a new phenomenon that comes out in the world, a new technology, an invention, and they ask the Rav, what does the Torah say? I'm talking about we ask a gadol. Yes, what are the Gedolim? Alem Hashalom. They never will say, but the Torah doesn't talk about this. They never say, well, listen, sorry, Torah does not have an opinion on this item. Every time they were asked with a question, there was an answer. Where did they get the answer from? They didn't say, well, we got the answer because we changed 7 Pesukim. And therefore, if you change the 7 Pesukim, you come up with a microwave, you come up with surrogate motherhood. No, they didn't do that. From the text itself, which means, you don't have to change the Mesorah to deal with the modern phenomenon. It's all in the Mesorah. What they're trying to change is they want to change and make Torah like the modern culture. That's what they want to do. Therefore, since modern culture is starting to accept certain things as norms, so therefore to be politically and socially accepted, so they want the Torah to also be socially accepted in these norms. But they don't realize that these norms over here will come and go. These fads will come and go. And like somebody come along and say, all of a sudden, you ever see how your parents used to dress in the 60s? Yeah, remember, Ellie, remember? I'm just saying like this. You look at the pictures, you say, what were you going to, a costume party? What was this? Was this Purim? Polka dotted shirts, striped pants, belt bottoms. You didn't see their shoes. Their hair, you thought they were going to a... Now, in those days, they thought they're the sharpest people, they thought. They said, well, nobody would be sharper than us. They didn't realize one day we're going to look at it and say, these are clowns. And what happened? It changed. It was a fad. That fad changed, and they used to a different fad, which means all these things, a culture is a fad. It's a fad. You thought you had the emet, right? Now you look at you're a clown. Everybody like Bozo the clown. And the same thing will happen in 10 years from now. You look at us, look at these guys, the way they were dressing over here. They're the tight pants, the tight bell bottoms. Everybody doing something different today. And the children will say, well, not that. My point is, fads, at the time, they seem very acceptable. And over the court, but what? The Torah is standard. Torah is omedet. It's stagnant. It stays the course of time. Stays the test of time. Therefore, don't change it, because by the time you change it, the culture is going to change their society 3 times already. So you're just going to be paying catch up. You're just going to be paying it. So you know what? Just keep it as it is, and eventually the society will come to the truth of the Torah. But if you think you're going to just keep on upgrading it to keep up with society, by the time you write the new book, society is 3 fads further than you. So you're never going to catch up. It's always going to be outdated. So that's timeless. But it's only timeless because Baruch Hashem gave us ne'emanim. Like we say in the Haftarah, ha-ne'emanim be'emet, which means these were given over by people that were emet. God is a ne'eman, and he gives over his Torah to ne'emanim. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop over here. Lagit shebaho shel Aaron shelo shina. Aruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha omer, nasa ha-barakos ha-kod yisai lefichak, הרבה להם, זו זו אומר, פרסו מסתכו, זה תורה וידיר.